Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome once again to Madame Perry's Salon, the podcast with more celebrities than the inauguration. I know you're waiting for my transporter, but my transporter's a little slow tonight. I don't know. I think my doorman, I think he just needs a vacation. So that transporter, we can expect that to come through any time now. So, but anyway, until then, first of all, I want to say welcome. Thank you. You know, this is, if you've been here before, you know I'm Madame Perry, but you can call me Jennifer Perry or Jen or J-Mod or Musicians Use AP. I am your hostess, your cruise director and spiritual advisor and sometime groove mistress on here. And I just want to thank you so much. And if you're new here, I just want you to know Madame Perry Salon. Well, it began as a blog, but it's the... sneaking here after he's already supposed to be here to be my doorman. But anyway, it began as a blog, and the idea was to be a cyber version, a cyber world version of cultural and literary music salons of centuries past. They were popular in Europe and England, I believe in Asia, where maybe there would be a patroness of the arts who would have different musicians and authors and artists come to her home often, and they would... share their works in progress, what they were going on, talk to each other, share ideas. And, yeah, that's how it started. And so I wanted to have one, but by this way, having it in thanks to the wonders of the Internet, I can do it here in space. And one of my first guests went back afterwards and told people, I've been to Madame Perry's Salon. It looks just like the inside of Jeannie's bottle. And that's what it is. And the first time, Kazem Sultan, one of our favorite musicians here, Kazem Sultan, bass player for Todd Rundgren and Joan Jett and Meatloaf, he comes in and says, oh, it does have a nice Moroccan decor inside. So, yes, we're inside the virtual Jeannie bottle. And I'm also happy, want to thank everyone who's been listening, subscribing on whatever platform you use here at Blog Talk Radio, Apple iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, whatever your preferred podcast platform is. Thank you for subscribing and sharing. The downloads have just been off the chart, and I am just so grateful to you because that helps me keep bringing more fascinating guests for you like I've had lately and like I've got tonight and like I've got coming up. Oh, by the way, just make sure you know in case you missed it or in case you're new, 2 weeks ago my guest was Franny Goldie. She's a songwriter, musician, singer. You probably know a lot of her songs. She's Grammy Award nominated and winner for songs like Night Shift by the Commodores, Dreaming by Selena, Stick With You, Pussycat Dolls. She's written songs for just about everybody. And now she has a clothing company, and you can see her designs in Oprah Magazine. Adam Glassman has taken them on The View and dubbed them the Magic Pants. But if you go to her website, Franny Goldie, FrannyGoldie.com, and pick out a pair of pants to order and put in for your code MPS from Madame Perry Salon, MPS, Franny's going to give you a nice discount just because you mentioned the use of Madame Perry Salon discount code. And that's very, very nice of her. Not only does she give us great music, she's got some fabulous clothes. But tonight, and I am so excited. I have been getting so much information. I mean, so many people contacting me and messaging me and calling me going, for real? You're not your guest tonight? I can't believe it. Yes. He's a guitarist, composer. You love him with Trans-Siberian Orchestra and other bands, and you've probably seen him and his trio perform and open for acts like Yngwie Malmsteen, three tours of that, B-52s, you know, some of my native friends here in Georgia, Lou Reed, yes, people, members of Yes in Asia, Casey and the Sunshine. Just about everybody you love, this guy has played with, and you love him too. So I'm going to just say, let's go ahead. And I think he's made himself comfortable here in Madame Perry's salon. Welcome, guitarist and composer, Mike Campis. Mike, welcome.
Oh, welcome, Madame Perry's salon. And, it's very cool to be here tonight, and it's great to hear you got some great response. It's very awesome.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm very, 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 very fortunate, and just so glad to have you here. Thank you so much for the post that you put out. I don't know if saw something that I said, but one of your first posts, and thank you so much. I always find that the more famous and successful somebody is, the more they promote it as much as I do.
we definitely put some stuff up on social media. That's important to do, put the word out, and something I'd like to do is the social networks, because, like, you know, the people that listen, they want to be involved in it, and so.
Well, you know. I'm an entertainment publicist, and it's like I tell people, you know, you don't know how lucky, you know, especially the younger artists have it now, that you can use social media and get your music, your message, your books, whatever you've got, out to anybody around the world. Just for the price.
Amazing. It's actually amazing these days with the internet, all the stuff you can do, the music everywhere. It's like everybody's all connected now.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm always finding new artists that I wouldn't have found except that I just, you know, listen to YouTube while I'm working, or check books and go, oh, okay, that's cool. I like that. and people have, you know, people have such a rich resource in that. So, oh, but what I said, and I said this last night, and I think I said it on Twitter, so just to make sure you knew. One of your first posts said that you were going to be on Madame Perry this week.
Yeah.
And I think I retweeted that with a correction, and I also said last night, I said, technically, Mike Campis will not be on Madame Perry. He will be on the podcast, Madame Perry Salon. Just making sure.
I didn't see that. Your phone just cut out, though, just a few seconds ago. Yeah, I didn't see that. That's amazing.
Oh, okay.
The phone keeps cutting out. Sorry. But, yeah, that's actually cool. Chance to see that, but that's great.
You know, you start typing fast and going, no, he's not going to be on me. He's going to be on my podcast. So, yeah, so it's still family safe to listen to this show.
All right. Yeah, somebody said the phone's cutting out on this. It's hard to hear a little bit.
Okay, well, let's see. Let me see what I've got to do. all right.
Tell me the difficulties.
So let me... Let me see what I can do here to get a little bit more volume in my mic.
It's like a reception or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
Could be.
All right. Well, if this doesn't work, I'll tell you what I'll do. How about now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's actually better.
Okay, good, much better. All right, I like that.
Yeah, so, I put a radio show. It's actually a podcast. That's why you put the radio show down.
Yeah, and that's another cool thing you could do now. You know, so many people, from famous people to anyone can has the advantage or has the opportunity. So that's another cool thing. But let me ask you this. What kind of what new projects have you got working on now? Because we're going to another call and ask about other stuff that you've done. But what new things have you got this year?
I'm from my latest CD called The Fire Within. That's my latest album that came out. Less than a year ago. I've been promoting that still and also working on new material, like a new album. But I'm going to probably put that out not till next year, but I'm working on, like a greatest hits thing I'm going to put out, because I have 10 solo albums out now. So I want to put out a greatest hits album and probably 2020, a new album. I have a live recordings I want to put out as well. But I've been mainly working on just new material, recording, and also promoting The Fire Within. I just did some shows out in the West Coast. We did out, in California, we did the Michael Schenker Fest and other shows in Las Vegas, things like that. So I'm still promoting that album, The Fire Within. This fall I want to put out a greatest hits album.
You're quite a prolific writer and producer with so many solo CDs that I've seen on your website and on YouTube. And if you don't mind, I meant to get some permission from you, but also wanted to, when I close the show, play The Fire Within.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
Yay.
That's probably my heaviest album to date. I have actually Yngwie Malmsteen's drummer plays drums in the whole album. And it's definitely my heaviest CD. It's got a variety of stuff on it, too. People are enjoying it. And it's one of my favorite ones so far. But my stuff, every album I put out, it's all different. Like, I don't really like to repeat the same thing. I have, some acoustic albums and a variety of a mixture of things. So, the next one will be a little different as well. But this one is getting a great response. And we got two new videos out, too. The Fire Within and All Alone, we got some videos I filmed out in Hollywood. We did some filming this year and last year. And it just came out about a month ago. The Fire Within came out. And about 2 months ago was the All Alone, which is a ballad. It's got the vocals on it. I sing too, and it's got instrumentals. But it's, mixed. Oh, sorry.
I mean, you must tour a lot. How do you have time to write so much and record?
Well, actually, I write a lot of stuff when I'm traveling. I mean, a lot of stuff I've written. I mean, I write stuff at home, but a lot of stuff I've written on the road, basically in airplanes and different locations. I get really inspired, and I put ideas down on my phone, and on the airplane, I've written lyrics for stuff, and actually music as well, on my laptop. I've written a lot of songs just on a laptop without a guitar. But a lot of it is traveling. I have an album called Chapters. I wrote it in Italy. I was touring different cities, and every city this ideas came to me. I put it down on my phone, so I named it Dance of Venice, Capriccio to Parma. So I get really inspired when I'm traveling, as well. As I'm also practicing and playing, and I get ideas. And I always, my phone has tons of stuff on it, It could be just little few second things, and I will come back and put it all together when I get back in the studio. But it just stuff comes, and inspiration hits. And I have a lot of stuff I haven't put out yet. I have a lot of music I've recorded, just different things. But I think it's important for a musician to write music. It's expression. It's your expression, It's a snapshot of time, too. It's in part of your life, you go through different things. And all my songs are really true experiences. Even instrumentals, you get, you go through experiences, and it kind of comes out that way, too. But that's basically how I do it. It doesn't really come. It comes a lot of different ways, just without the guitar, different location. And, I love writing.
I want to get to some more things about that. I have other questions for you, but I also want to, this is a good time to stop and say, if you're listening to us live tonight on June the 4th, 2019, and you want to talk to Mike, Give us a call at 646-716-9922. Blog Talk Radio assures me that it is a toll-free call within the continental U.S., so 646-716-9922. Or for people, and Mike, you know, there are some people who maybe can't call because they've got a day job or something, or they got a place where they got to be.
Or they're driving, or they're at work, and they go, oh, I want to call in. But, but yeah, don't be shy.
And so, folks, you know what to do. Send me a message on Facebook, either through Jennifer Mott at Perry or through Madam Perry Salon. Just send me a message, and I will see it and pass the message or question along to Mike. But, yeah, so we will be – your phones are open, and I think Mike will be ready for your calls. Be ready to
definitely.
Talk to people.
The name is so your name is so different. Like Madam Perry Salon, when I posted it, it was like it's actually really cool. It's like why don't we get a haircut too? Because it's like, you know, salon, like, you know, it's usually it's like you'll have like, you know, radio, let's say radio or something, but it's cool. It's just different.
I know. I've got to get some more some better descriptions. I know one time I had something on about Oh, I know. I was posting when about 2 years ago, I had, I know this guy's probably a friend of yours, Rudy Sarzo.
Oh, yeah. I talked to him so many times. I mean, I didn't see him this year. I usually see him at the NAMM show every year. I talk to him every year. I didn't see him this year, but he's a really nice guy. He's the nicest guy.
You know, everybody says that, and he does seem like, and he was such a great guest and so kind. And so generous. And he said, but when I put that on there, somebody said, wait, what? I don't get this. You got a hair salon? You're not going to cut Rudy's hair. No.
That's actually funny.
But yeah.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. He's really mellow. He's nice and mellow, soft-spoken.
Yeah.
And he's really, you know, he talks to you. He's just nice. And, yeah, I haven't talked to him in a little while now, but I always like to talk to him and I see him, and usually I always see him at NAMM. I always run into him at NAMM. But this year was so. What's that? I'm sorry. The phone cut out.
He has a called Off the Rails about his time touring with Ozzy.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, I never read that book, but I know he has it out, and it's got to be amazing because he was, you know, he was part of that band. So, and he was with Randy Rose, and that's just like. He is everywhere. Like he's with every band, and it's actually
fantastic.
Incredible.
And it goes into the part where, you know, when Randy with the plane crash, it's such a sad thing, but such a dear friend he was.
Oh, I know. Yeah, the phone was cutting out. Keep again dropouts on the phone.
Okay, so. Yeah, so people like, so the idea was, no, it's not, I wasn't going to cut Rudy's hair, but he's a great guy, and he's got a great book, and yeah, that was fun. Okay, well, I've got a call here right now for you, and if you just come on in. Hi, this is Madam Perry Salon. Just introduce yourself and talk to me, or to talk to Mike Campese.
Hi, Madam Perry. This is Vince Bryant, better known as V. Lee V, and I see that Mike Kent Macy's on your show, and I just wanted to say hi, and he's an awesome dude.
Ah, thank you, man, very much. Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. So you're a guitarist, man. Excuse me, I'm just getting over the pollen bronchitis. I hung out in the park for the jazz fest, and I hung out in the park with my girl, and now it's all taking its toll. Anyway, you compose. What's your DAW, man? What are you using?
I use Pro Tools. I've used that for a long time. It's like a real long time.
Do you do keyboards or you do guitar MIDI?
For keyboard parts, I have a MIDI keyboard, but it's only for padding and stuff. For MIDI padding, I'm not a great keyboard player, but I just like basically just do padding stuff like behind the songs.
Right.
My very first album, the studio had a MIDI guitar. It's called Total Freedom, and I did use that on some tracks, which was cool because I'm not a fast piano player, and like I was tracking some stuff with that. Just in that one album, I used that. But
Yeah, you're a blazingly fast guitar player. You're like, yeah, you're awesome, man. You're awesome.
Thanks. Do you have any of the albums?
I'm just a fellow musician who knows about you, man. I just, you know,
awesome.
You know,
cool,
we don't buy each other stuff. We just listen and hang out.
I love to hear stuff like that because, you know, it's just like that's what it's all about music. It's like basically, you know, you got to perform. You like the music you play, and it's awesome that other people are into it too. It's just like
right.
It makes me do it. Continue more with that.
Right. Well, you obviously listen to the greats. I mean, you couldn't. I mean, I'm a piano player, so I know.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, I'm a composer too. I score film is what I do. Yeah, but I know you, Satriani, and those guys of that type. You know, you're all over that stuff, then, and you know, and what's his name? I'm losing his name. One of the greatest jazz guitarists.
Al DiMeola?
Al DiMeola. That's it.
He's awesome.
And you know I was going after your style, so you knew that's where it was at. So
actually, he's one of my early influences. My brother was a huge, he still is a huge Al DiMeola fan, and Chick Corea. When I was a
kid, when
I was like 13, he's like come in the room, oh, check this guy out. This is like right before Yngwie came out. And I was like, oh, wow, this is really, that's cool. Because I love fast stuff. I always love fast technical stuff.
Yep.
Since I was a
kid.
The
technical, blazingly fast lightning stuff. I love it.
But I also like melodic and slow stuff, too, because I do like slower stuff and melodic, but I love the technical, speedy kind of things. My first actually influenced band is Black Sabbath. That was my very first, the music is not technically, but it's just amazing music. So that was my first thing I got into. Then as you develop as a player, you get into other kind of music that's more technical. Because like if you want to go to the next thing, it's like, you know, after you learn the pentatonic stuff, you want to get into the quicker, you know, like the more stuff. So
Mixolydian, Phrygian, yep.
My brother was like, oh, check this guy out. I took guitar lessons when I was a kid, and I used to bring it to my teacher. I used to bring in DiMeola, and I love classical music, violin music.
So do I. Yep. See, guys that play on the style like we play, I'm going to bring myself up to your category for just a second. We study all that arpeggiating because it means something. It's the ability to navigate through all those notes, you know, in order to build a higher feeling, a higher melody, you know, and it's only a piece of it. It's just, but so much goes into it that you really literally have to slow it down, and technically you have to practice. You have to practice every day for hours, and people don't get it.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, you gotta maintain, and it's a lot of work. I mean, I play every single day, and it's a different type of practicing. Now I do more writing than practicing, but it's more, I'm basically, when I'm writing, if I write something that's hard to play, I got to practice it to get it.
That's right.
Play live. So basically I push myself all the time and just do things that are hard, tricky. And but for me, an important thing is like the melody and the feeling is in it, because, you know, like you can't just run up and down the arpeggios. It's like one of the things you have to kind of make music. The hard thing to say is like sometimes when I hear this blazing arpeggios, after a while I might even get bored if it's not really melodic or like, but it can be fast and melodic, because like if you listen to Mozart, his stuff is actually blazing.
Right, the Bach inventions, the Mozart arpeggiated, the magic flute, all of that stuff.
That stuff is like flying.
It's flying.
The melodies are kind of just like in there as well. But it's, you know, it's, but those guys are like, you know, it's incredible the stuff that those guys used to do. Like.
No. You're on it, because I studied out of the Hammond book, and that led me to all the guitarists. See, more guitarists do that stuff than the pianist. I mean, Oscar Peterson and, you know, McCoy Tyner, guys like that, Errol Garner, you know, and of course all the old stride piano players can do that because of the way they structured melodies. But you are a real world-class composer able to do that. You're welcome. Okay. You're welcome. To be able to create that kind of music. Because it's like you said, even though it comes out of your head, doesn't mean you own it right away. You have to practice it. And when I write, I get these incredibly these convoluted melodies that have to be worked out. You know, I have to learn what I'm actually hearing, you know, in my head. So right. I know how real that is. And I hate to just take off, man, but I had to say hi to you, dude. And when you come to Atlanta, I want to look you up, man. I want you to look
awesome,
me
up. Send me, I'd like to hear some of your stuff. Like, send a message to the website.
I'll do that. Mm-hmm. I will do that. All right. You got it.
Awesome.
All right, Gampanisi. All right.
Yeah,
peace.
Bye. Bye.
Later.
Bye.
Bye, Madam Perry.
Goodbye, Vince. Thank you so much for calling in.
He's a nice guy. Is he a regular?
All right. So, I got another call.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm sorry, the phone's dropping out. I don't know if it's,
I hope not. All right, hi,
my
welcome
phone...
to Matt. I'm here with Mike Campese. Come on in, talk to us. I'm here
Hello?
With Mike. Hi, this is Madam Perry with Mike Campese. Come on in, talk to us.
Madam Perry, hey, this is Frank DeVille. Greenfield, how's it going?
Frank DeVille Greenfield? So happy
That's
to
me.
Hear from you. Musicians are calling in.
That's great.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, man?
Good, how you doing?
Actually, I was on. Good, good. Madam Perry, when was I on your show? Was it like a year ago, maybe?
I think it was a year ago. It was when you had been working on The Voice. One of the artists here, and then you were going on the road with, I believe, you, and also you've been doing the TV show, what was it, Brooklyn Nine?
But was I on the tour with those funk bands yet, or was that before that? Do you remember?
With the Cat Band? Or?
Okay, so I think when we were talking about the, it was probably a while ago then. So, yeah, but I, actually, when you mentioned, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Hello?
Yep.
So
Mikey.
When you mentioned Mike, I did a quick, actually I've been out of town producing this artist, and I did a quick Google search of Mike, and so we're both East Coasters. I don't know where Mike is now, but we both...
You're Greenfield, New York?
What's that?
You said Greenfield, New York. Is that where you're from?
Well, I'm from the East Coast. I moved out from Philly. I lived in Philly, New York, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And like you, I studied classical guitar and music in Princeton, Jersey. Before moving, I moved out here to L.A. like 16 years ago. So I did a little research on you. We probably ran into each other at NAMM a little bit.
I'm from New York. I'm still in New York right now. I do travel to L.A. a lot. I was just there playing out there. I might have seen you at the NAMM show. Your name sounds familiar. I might have met you before.
Yeah, we probably did. I'm not sure. I'm not if we maybe endorsed some of the same companies, but
probably. Your name is really familiar. When you said your name, I was like,
Yeah. So I kind of came up in the hard rock metal era. That's why I got into classical. But when I moved out here, and I started to. Work in the industry, there's a saying that I love, because not everybody, subscribes to that, this mythology, but the more music, that you love, the more you love music. So I kind of did come up, studying that idiom. The guys that were really, dope players had studied classical and jazz, and like you, I did the Paganini and...
Oh, cool.
and all that stuff. And the guy that I was studying jazz with back on the East Coast was one of the guys that actually transcribed it for guitar. I don't know how long ago.
Awesome.
Yeah, when that was. But I got more into pop and R&B and some hip-hop. And like Madame Perry was talking about, I do a lot of film and TV music.
Oh, really?
The bands that I toured with were, like, I was toured with the Gap Band for a few years, and then another group called Side Effect. They were kind of like Soul Train, came up, you know, 60s, 70s, and 80s. And, you know, I'm, you know, it's crazy. I you know, produced for Universal Music. And,
oh, great.
Yeah, so it's just the wonderful thing about music is, even though we might be different stylistically, there's so much opportunity in the music industry to be, you know, to find your own lane. I worked with Timberland's, the producer of Timberland's Camp, from 2004 to about 2013. And that's something that they would always say, like, find your own lane in music, find your own lane. And like,
right.
you know, in LA, the level of talent is so high that, you know, it's kind of difficult to navigate and find exactly where we fit in. But I do believe once we do find our own lane, then like, you know, you have.
Right.
We can find success and we can, you know, make our own, you know, brand. So.
Yeah, I'm also versatile because I love other stuff. Like I love funk music as well.
Yeah.
Jazzy stuff, fusion. So it's like I kind of mix it all together. I went to MI. Back in the day, I learned so much, just all the different styles. And plus, my first teacher was a jazz teacher. So, I was into, like, you know, the heavy metal bands, and he was, like, showing me, like, jazzy stuff. Then I was into classical, so it was all mixed together. I went to MI, I learned just all these different styles. And eventually, I just basically, it all just comes out. So I don't really think about too much, you know, like, it just come out, what I write just basically comes out. But I like blues, too.
Yeah.
So I like to do my own spin with stuff, just my own music. And if it is blues,
awesome.
I'll add other elements to it, and not just straight ahead. I'll just put other stuff. And I love jazz, but I like the hard rock, the rock audiences. Like, I like using the jazz concepts into the rock. Like when, you know, the jazz, it's a little more advanced. But yeah, after a while, you just, you know, it all comes together. It's like a big soup, basically, because you just throw all the stuff in.
It does. And I found if you went to MI, you know, anybody that went to MI that's in my world or in my circle, they're all incredible musicians. I didn't go to MI. Like I said, I did my music studying mostly on the East Coast.
Oh, cool.
But you know what the thing is as a musician who's working in the industry, I'm constantly doing things to challenge myself. Like,
that's great.
I'll pull out, you know, the real book. There's like jazz, like bebop standards. You're probably familiar with the real book. That's so I keep my reading up. Or I just downloaded this, like, not just, but maybe a few months ago, this like metal kind of, I think it's called Metal Method or something like that. It just has some challenging.
I had that when I was a kid. Actually, that was Doug Marks. That was I think I bought a couple of those when I was a kid. Like one of the Theory ones, like the Randy Rhoads one, the Yngwie one. Yeah, it's Metal Method.
Yeah, that's it. It's Doug Marks. This is like some kind of like a little bit of different approach to sweet picking that, you know, that I do. So I'm always looking, not that I want, you know, always looking to challenge myself and you know, take it to the next level. I just, for this actual artist that I'm producing right this minute, I have to learn banjo. So last week I picked up a banjo.
Oh, awesome. That's cool. Yeah, I never really played it. I mean, like you could probably tune like a guitar, and you could probably because I remember Tommy Tedesco. He used to do that.
Oh, dude. Okay, you know what? It's interesting that you say that name because when I was a little kid, I don't know for some reason Tommy Tedesco. I think because when I was a little kid, I really liked the Monkees and the Beach Boys, and Tommy Tedesco was the guitar, wrote a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, he was part of the MI school. He died, though, unfortunately. But, like, I remember, like, he, right before he died, he came into the school and he was telling us, he had a big seminar and, like, a clinic thing. He was talking about the banjo. He used to tune it like a guitar. Like, he didn't really learn the whole instrument. He just basically just retuned it like a guitar. It's, like, be the same shapes and stuff. I thought that was funny because...
Well, that's, you know what, that's the point I was going to make specifically, Mike, is that exact thing. So I saw him, you know, before he died at some seminar. I mean, I don't know, I just always thought that what he did was just, you know, so cool. And he said exactly what you just said. You just need to learn a few things. Obviously, you know, guitar with electric, you want to have some good chops and classical. But, you know, I've been a mandolin player for like 20 plus years.
Wow.
And did I'm not that great, but I've made more money with this mandolin. It's like $100 mandolin. I bought it new. I've been doing a lot of, as a session musician, been doing some show tunes, arranging these mandolin parts, some classical parts, and some kind of strange tuning. Yeah, and I just know some basic things, some cool strum patterns, and how to, you know. And so, what Tommy said is absolutely correct. And so, applying it to the banjo, though. I thought the banjo, I would have the right hand down easily,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. because from playing classical, right? You play classical, yes?
Yeah. Yeah, I studied classical for a while, but I know the right hand, you have to have the nails, but I write classical pieces, but it's like, it's not as like a strict, it's more, I wouldn't say new age, but it's like, you know, I use the right hand technique. I use hybrid picking with that. But I don't
mm-hmm.
strict classical, like they have the nails. I was never good at growing nails and stuff, so like so I didn't do all the, you know, the with the foot stand and the nail thing, but I did try that. I did study that for a while. I did do the Bach. I mean, my teachers, I used to do the Bach pieces, and I took classical at MI, and but I like writing my own music, so basically I did learn a lot of pieces, and I still mess around with. I like the violin technique, like where it's a pick style, where the like violin kind of classical stuff. I love a lot.
Yeah.
But it's all, you know, all that stuff helps, like your regular writing with the classical, the right hand technique, keeping the fingers down, and all, you know, just so I incorporate that in my stuff, and I've written pieces over the years. But it's a lot to keep up, you know what I mean? It's like to go back to a Bach piece, I'd have to go back and just, you know, redo the, break out the fingerings again and stuff. And
get that footstool. No.
Those guys are, it's very strict. I mean, they have, like, you know, the stools, and they have the perfect nails. It's got a perfect posture, and which is, you know, it's amazing because you dedicate your life to that one style. But it's good to
learn. That's a wonderful... Yeah, that's the wonderful thing about learning, like, that idiom. I never really wanted to be a great classical player, but I do get it. But here's the thing, too, with the nails, because I have nails on my right hand, but being, you know, playing with a pick,
yeah,
you know, and doing some fast stuff, so it wears the nail down on my first index finger. So I have to wear, like, a fake. If I'm going to do it, my technique would always sound, you know, when I'm hitting it with the index finger, sound a little bit off, but...
Huh.
You know, my classical guitar is only maybe two steps up from a student model I've had since college. But again, you know, just being able to be for, like, utilitarian.
Right.
You know, like, to be able to use it for, like, utility, like, you know, the banjo. And even the banjo, so in a regular guitar, obviously, you know, the bottom string is normally the bass.
Right.
Right? So here I am messing with this banjo. So even if it's tuned, the first string is a high B.
Oh, yeah, because a five-string banjo, right? actually, you can buy it. Actually, I seen a Dean one that's got six strings like a guitar, but it's a banjo. But banjos are usually five-string or four-string. But I did see a six-string banjo that is like a guitar. It's tuned like a guitar. It's like a Tommy Jesko creation of it. But, I do classical guitar in some of my stuff. On my acoustic album Chapters, there is like flamenco kind of pieces in there. I use a classical guitar, and on the chapter Hidden Treasures, I do some classical pieces. And throughout a lot of the albums, but actually my last CD, I used a ukulele on one of the songs. So I messed with that a little bit because it's a cool instrument.
Yeah, it is.
From going to Hawaii and stuff like that, I finally broke down and got a nicer one. I used to get like these cheaper ones, and I finally got a nice one. And on my Chapters album, I used ukulele in one of the tunes that towards the end of it. And it was cool to mix it with the guitar. It was kind of like the mandolin and the guitar, like Led Zeppelin used to do, the Jimmy Page and stuff.
Actually, that's another project I'm working on right now is a Page Plant thing with this guy actually. You know, working for what I do, like in the industry, I'm always juggling 4 to 5 different projects. You know, I'm performing with two bands. I just got brought on to be a music supervisor for a film that's shooting in Canada.
Awesome.
You know, I have an extensive music catalog. And then, you know, I'm producing, you know, this one artist. I'm working with a keyboard player, Alan St. John from Foreigner and Billy Squire. And just doing all kinds of stuff. But I recently did this gig with this guy that just does it acoustically, Page and Plant, with a 4-piece string section. Mm-hmm. And it's incredible. So like playing the rain song, or like I'm just learning the parts yesterday for Battle of Evermore, Going to California. So
that's an awesome song.
Yeah, they're just great. I'd forgotten the genius of Jimmy Page, but anyway, so I wanted to know too, what companies are you endorsing, or do you have endorsements with?
My guitars, I endorse Anderson Guitars, which is out in California. It's the they're out in Thousand Oaks. I've used those guitars for years, and that's basically my main. That's my main guitar. That's exclusively like Anderson Guitars. They're very versatile. And for amplifiers is Mesa Boogie. I've used those for years as well. And strings, D'Addario, Magambi, Cable, a bunch of other stuff like Exotic Effects. I have Dofix Effects. I use their pedals. There's a bunch of, like, basically, I usually endorse what I use. Like, I don't, like, just endorse to get free stuff.
Well, no, I said the same thing. I only endorse what I love. It just doesn't do me any good. Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, but I endorse actually Ernie Ball.
Cool.
Music Man. I love those guitars. But I love my vintage guitars. I have older Les Pauls, older Strats.
Yeah.
But to go out.
I love
that.
I love Fender. Fender's great too. I have a couple of Fender Strats, which I love, and those are really amazing guitars. I mean, the Anderson's more versatile than the Stratas, but the Strats that I have, they're great.
The Anderson is more versatile.
Mm-hmm.
Much more. But being in the Ernie Ball family, I went, I have this, it's a Steve Lukather model because...
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, awesome. He's great.
Yeah, taking one guitar out on the road, like when I was out with the Gap Band or Side Effect, I didn't want to take like a guitars on a plane. I needed something totally versatile.
Yep.
And it's all that. But which Boogie amp do you use?
My main amp is a Rectifier. That's my main. I have other Mesas, but that's my main sound is Rectifier. But when I'm traveling, I usually try to get Rectifier. Sometimes I might be a DC5, but I have DC5 here, but I just played in Vegas recently. I used a Fillmore combo. It was amazing, but the Rectifier is my main sound. Any Boogie is great. Like when I travel, sometimes I can't always get a Rectifier. They'll say, hey, we have a Roadster, or we have the Mark II, so I'll definitely use it, but I have a bunch of Rectifier. I have the mini rectifiers. I have the 2-channel rectifiers. So that's like my go-to is that one.
Yeah, I have an older. Actually, I have a. I use Boogies too. I use a lot of things, but my main. Yeah, I have an older Mark III.
All right.
That is just incredible. I used to have a Mark II C plus, you know, one of the legendary ones.
That's like the Metallica. That's like the amazing. Yeah, that's a legendary one.
It was, but it didn't have the shtum like this Mark III. I don't know what it is, but I bought it like when I lived in Philly, and then I bought it originally as a 6000, sent it back, and then they turned it into a Sama class. And I don't know whether it's a different transformer or what, but the Mark II C plus. I mean, I sold it a couple of years ago. I got good money for it. I'm sure. Maybe the guy's not holding. Maybe he's not listening to the show right now, but. This Mark III, like tromps all over it. There was no reason for me to have the Mark DC Plus. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I have a DC5 combo I bought years ago. I use it for smaller gigs. It sounds amazing. I mean, it's just, but for more band, bigger stuff, I use the rectifier because it just, I like 412 cabinets because it just gives it more speaker air. But for smaller shows, I use a 112. The Fillmore I used in Vegas was actually, it sounded great. I was like, holy shit. I turned around and this thing sounds amazing. I rented it for the show because I can't bring an amp on a plane. And basically, I'm like you. I bring one guitar. Like, I don't travel with a bunch of guitars. I bring one guitar. So that's why the Anderson is so versatile. Like, I trust that guitar. Like, people think I'm crazy. You bring one guitar on the road?
Well, yeah. Absolutely.
I use acoustic guitar. I use Ovation, so I might have to rent an Ovation guitar if I have to play acoustic. So that's my other guitar that I use. Ovation guitars. I love them for acoustic, but electric. It's like I have to carry the guitar on the plane because I don't trust the TSA throwing the guitar, so I have to have it with me. So they can't put two guitars. Actually, one guitar is actually frustrating when you're traveling because it's like I always like thankful when the guitar is on the plane, it's above me or it's in a coat rack or somewhere. I'm always like, oh, phew. Before that, I'm always nervous because it's always like, hey, you know, there's, but it's been good though. I haven't had any trouble in a long time with the guitar, so it's
well, that's why I ended up getting this Music Man, because I was doing a gig in Las Vegas, and I had two guitars, my Les Paul and my Strat, in a road case. And it was, number one, it was expensive to ship them, you know, to put them on the plane. And then when I came back into L.A., and they said, oh, we can't find your guitars. I'm like, what are you talking about? They're huge cases. Oh, well, what do they look like? I'm like, they're freaking handful cases. One's black and one's – and I start to think – see, this is how stuff gets taken, or this is how you have problems.
I know.
You know, and so, like, what you were saying, like, it's the same thing. I put it on a soft case, put it on my back. You know, I'll even take a little amp modeler that I have that I can get, like, a plug-and-play instant sound, and just in case the back line for where I'm going sucks. And
I have modern stuff for the hotels, like on my phone. I have this, you know, I use iRig and stuff like that. But I just recently, somebody gave me a NAM, like it's a little tiny amplifier. It's a little tiny amp. I guess you can run a cabinet off of it and you can go direct with it. And I just bought like this cab simulator too, just in case for a backup. Because I know I did in Italy, like a tour in Italy, and one of the venues, the amp didn't make it to the venue. And I called the club and they're like, the amp is there, right? They're like, no. So, but I mean, like, I was like, we had to dig an amp up. So, like, now I have that prepared just in case that ever happens. I can have this. Worst comes to worst, I can use a modeler or something that get me through the night. But which I don't like. I don't use modelers live though. That's the thing. Cause but if I had to, I would. But I don't usually use them live. But they're getting better with that stuff. They're getting better with that.
Well, I think the sounds are getting better too. Like, I'm using an older Vox Tone Lab or something like that. It's got, like, two or three great sounds. It's got almost too many sounds. But, you know, if you're using, a boogie like I'm using, so we love it. We love, you know, the crunch and the tube saturation. So something that gets close to that or something that just works as opposed to no amp at all.
I know. It actually, I definitely – I've used it for, I mean, I know NAM I've used I demo stuff for different companies, and I've used Mahlers, and it sounded really good. Like, it was amazing, you know, just like with backing tracks with the Mahlers, it's great. But actually,
yeah.
Also, I've always realized everybody has their sound in their head. So, like, even if I have a Mahler, I'll start dialing out to sound like my amp, and it gets pretty close. So,
hey,
actually,
cool.
it's on the fingers. I think it's on the player because the gear stuff. I love gear, but it's like I don't know. I just as I got better as a player, the gear started sounding better. So, I'm not crazy. I love gear, but I'm not like it's not one of those things where I have to have a certain thing to make me sound better or whatever. It's just it's pretty much.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Mike, I got another call for you. Hey, and Frank, you stay right here because I got something to tell both of you guys. And by the way, I've got about 7 minutes left with Mike.
Oh,
okay. He's here on Salon. And if you want to call 646-716-9922. And I've got another caller, but I want to say something first. Banjo. You mentioned, I've been making some notes, but whenever I could jump back in here, Banjo. Didn't he Tommy Tedesco's son was on the show here last summer.
Oh, he was?
Talking.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Documentary.
That's awesome.
Making crew.
I think he's in Seattle. Is he Seattle?
Yeah.
All right.
The Wrecking Crew.
Yes.
If you haven't seen The Wrecking Crew, get it. And also, and I think this still holds, if you do order The Wrecking Crew video, or the DVD, or whatever you however you get it, make sure you mention that you heard about it on Madam Perry Salon, and I believe you'll still get a discount if you mention that.
Oh, cool. When I was at MI for a reunion, they played the video there at the school. They were seeing
probably. You know, when you listen to that. Also, I'm going to make sure that both of you guys come through the South and come through Atlanta this year. You mentioned, you took me way back talking about the footstool for guitar because 20-something years ago I took guitar lessons. And it was classical, and I had to have that footstool. And my teacher just taught with a woman.
That's funny.
That is funny. Can I have that footstool?
The footstool. Yeah, I never bought the footstool. Yeah. If they wear a suit, too. But for a female, I guess you have to wear a suit as well, I think, no? If you're doing. No, I'm joking.
Epiphone. All I ever bought was a collapsible footstool. And all I can remember is a Bach chorale part of Blackbird and an Indigo Girls song that she taught. And that's it. But I got that collapsible footstool. If you want, I'll put it on eBay. I sold another foot pedal operation to Frank Gambale.
Really?
Husband.
Oh, he's great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, Greg is awesome.
Yeah, he is. But I've got another caller on the line here, folks, for you. And welcome. Come on into Madam Perry Salon. I'm here with Mike Campese and DeVille here, too. Come on in. Introduce yourself.
Hi. My name's Joe. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Hey,
good,
Mike, I was just calling in because I'm a little older. I grew up listening to Jeff Beck and Joe Satriani, and I'm a fan of yours because you remind me a lot of them, or at least it sounds like you've been influenced by them. And I was also a big fan of Dream Theater and stuff that. So I was just kind of wondering, I'm in Michigan. You got any plans on coming to Michigan, touring or playing? Cause
not at the moment, but possibly not at the moment. But basically now, I'm working on some Europe stuff right now. I'd love to come up that way. I'm usually on the West Coast, East Coast, or Europe, but that'd be great to come up that way too.
Well, if you can ever make it out to the Midwest, we get robbed. We get especially in Michigan because we're so out of the way. So if you ever get the chance, man, because we've got diehard rock fans out here. I mean, you know, like Kiss always does great here. I think we set a record for them, and we get robbed with all you with all the good players because we're just out of the way. So if you can make it out here, man, I know you have a good draw because
awesome.
you've got the skills the people here. We love that stuff. We like the classical stuff.
Actually,
we like the guys that can play. You know,
that's good to know because. Because, you know, like, there's certain areas where you're not sure how it would be, but that's great to hear that. So I'm going to definitely look into that more. But definitely during the summer, because I know the wintertime, the snow.
Right.
Like New York, you know, the weather is.
The summer would be where it's at. You know, because, like, even like, you're more like Alice Cooper's and Poison's and Def Leppard's. Whenever they come here, they always end up staying an extra day or two because they just have the fan base. And whenever, I mean, you know, it just always works out like that. We've got some really good rock and roll electric fans out here.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rush always does good here when they come out here. And, you know, I've always been in that progressive kind of a thing. And when I heard about you, when I found you, I totally recognized it. And we really would like to have you out here, man. So if you can make the time, find out.
They should do is that. Maybe send some suggestions for clubs that I'd love to play at some certain clubs that you might suggest. So you can send something to the website. And I'll look into it. I'll talk to the management, or I'll just look into to see if I can get some shows up that way.
All right. I can do that. That's not a problem. I'll tell them I'll drop the name and tell them to check you out.
Contact me, whatever, with the venues and stuff. I would definitely look into it.
All right, man. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. It was great talking to you. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
All right. Goodbye.
Well, everybody's so awesome. Everybody's really nice and friendly.
A message came in from Eddie who says, hey, Okay, a message came in from Eddie. He says, Mike, glad to hear you on here. Thanks so much for all the music. And he said to tell you that he loves reading your articles and columns in Axe magazine.
Oh, great. Yeah, I've been writing for Axe magazine in Italy. It's a I've written for guitar magazines for many years now, and like the Guitar Player, Guitar World over the years. But now I've been doing a lot of stuff in Italy and Axe for it's probably like 6 years straight now. I've been doing columns every month basically. I have my own column, go ahead.
Do you write in Italian as well?
No, they converted. Like, I'm actually full Italian, but I can't speak Italian or write Italian. But they actually, I do it all in English, and they kind of convert it.
That's what I
have to learn Italian, though. I know that.
All right. Oh, we've got one more call coming in. One more. Okay. And welcome to Madame Perry Salon. Oh, never mind. They just dropped. If that was you. 314 area code, please come back. If you had a difficulty, please come back. It's somebody from the 314 area code, because you've only got about two more minutes to talk to Mike. And you guys, I'm going to tell you Mike, and I'm going to tell you Frank, because I know you guys, or I know Frank better. You've got to come to the South. You've got to come to Atlanta.
I always fly into there, but never played down that way. I'm always flying that way.
And you both know, call her back. And you both know an entertainment publicist, right? That would be me.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right. That's good to know.
All right. Okay. Here's our caller back. Welcome to Madame Perry Salon, and you're here with Madame Perry, guitarist Mike Campese, and the Cool DeVille hanging out too. Come on in. Introduce yourself.
Hello, Mikey.
How you doing?
It's Keith. I'm in St. Louis.
Awesome.
And we're getting flooded here. I got a question for you, Mike. With all your travels, have you ever lost any equipment or your instruments?
No, actually. Luckily, no. I mean, basically, all the stuff is with me, like my guitar and things like that. But I, there's been times where, like, you know, your luggage, you know, it's like on the next flight or something like that. That always makes me nervous, but. Not with gear, I mean, not yet, but.
All right,
but I don't travel with. I used to travel with my rare guitars like that, but I don't do that as much anymore. But every guitar is rare to me, but like you know, the even more rare ones, like I guess I could say. But.
Awesome, bud. Well, mm-hmm. It was good talking to you, bud.
You too.
I'll see you back in New York.
Bye-bye. Yeah, definitely.
Hey. Yeah. Thanks so much for calling, and thank you so much, Mike. And I think we're about to run out of time.
I had an amazing time. This is a great show. This is really awesome. Everybody's so friendly and really good.
It's a warm, friendly place to be. Everybody's comfortable here. And I'm going to close out with your song, The Fire Within. DeVille, you better be coming back. And Mike, you better come back.
I'd love to. Yeah, anytime. I mean, Yeah, definitely Frank. Frank's name, right? Frank, you should definitely send me information. Like, we should keep